Good morning. Shoot, it's good to see everybody. Beautiful day, right? After 2 days of rain, it's just wonderful to see the sunshine, to be able to get out and do some stuff. Glad to be with you this morning. Today we begin a new series of messages that are primarily based on Christ's words in the Gospel of John, but also based on a book that has been written by the lead minister of probably, I don't know if it's the largest church in our brotherhood, but one of the very largest churches in our brotherhood, Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Kyle Eidelman wrote a book entitled When Your Way Isn't Working. And I personally have found this book to be incredibly helpful through a distressful season of my life. And I truly believe that anyone, no matter what you're going through, or even if you don't really even feel like you're going through something, anyone can benefit from reading this book. So I highly recommend it. I want to ask you a question, and this is going to feel real negative right here out of the gate, but it'll get better as we go along, okay? But have you experienced any of these feelings, any of these emotions lately in your life? Frustration, anger, anxiety, fatigue, bitterness, stress, discouragement. Man, it's gotten quiet and really dark in here. Defensiveness, blaming, worry, a critical spirit, fear, guilt, despair. Now, it doesn't have to be all of those. I think if you felt all of those, we might be burying you soon. I don't know, but it doesn't have to. Maybe just some of those, or could just even be just one of those in a pervasive way. And I give you this list of feelings and this list of emotional responses, knowing that most of us probably deal with one or more of these, at least from time to time. And however you deal with them, however you might be coping or managing these feelings, how's that working for you? Whatever you're doing to deal with them, how's that working for you? Because some of us experience these emotions and we kind of just get, some of us just get out of control. Some of us will push them way down deep and just bury them and ignore them. Some people are going to be in denial. They won't admit that there's something going on. Some just suffer in silence, in deep emotional distress, exhausted, overwhelmed. However you deal with it, how's that working for you? And that question is actually strategic in nature. It suggests that something needs to change. And the first step to changing or even overcoming is to accept that there's a problem. They'll tell you that in any kind of addiction or any kind of problem that you're experiencing, something needs to change, even if you don't know exactly what it is. And I tend to be pretty transparent, probably too transparent sometimes. I talk a little bit too much about myself, more than I should. Sometimes Beverly will often, when we're out in public and I'm just talking to a stranger or talking to a doctor or talking to somebody out in public, she will often tell me, "You don't have to tell them everything you know." And I think there is certainly some truth to that, but I think there's also value in being real. I've been helped so many times when I've listened to others tell me their story and tell me about themselves. And so whatever shared experiences we have, I can learn from their experience, good or bad, because it reminded me that I'm not alone. I'm not alone in feeling the way I feel. Maybe my story can do the same thing for someone. And some of you will remember, most of you will remember, if you were here a year ago, almost to the day that I began an extended sabbatical that lasted a few months. And let me say again how much Beverly and I appreciated your love and your support through this time. But yes, it began while I was recovering from RSV, and so that really was sort of the stated reason for why I was out. And I would have been out for 5 weeks, even with just RSV, because that physical recovery took that long. But from the beginning, my time off, the plan, thanks to our wise and our caring elders, was for me to take a full 3 months. And I'll be honest, I was pretty resistant to that idea. If you talk to our elders, you will understand from them how resistant I was to that idea. I couldn't imagine taking that much time away. What would I do? What would people think? How would the church ever get by without me there? Just a lot of questions, really, and concerns. And at first, that added to my anxiety level. But they saw what I couldn't see. I needed time away from the daily demands of ministry. And if you know me, you know that it's hard for me to take time off anyway. In 38 years of ministry here, I don't think I have ever used all of my allotted vacation days in a single year. I lose days every year. And in hindsight, that's probably not what was best for me. That's probably not what was best for my family, and it's probably not what was best for our church. But simply put, I was exhausted. Not burned out, I don't think, but definitely flickering. To go back a little bit, 2024 brought some difficult challenges. In January of that year, I was diagnosed with this autoimmune response that causes my white cells to attack the veins in both of my eyes. And at that time, the treatment for that was a daily regimen of chemotherapy pills. Many of you know this. You have autoimmune situations. You're probably on some kind of a chemotherapy. And I was on one that I had a bad reaction to, and then I switched to another. In fact, I missed Easter that year in 2024 because of a bad reaction to the chemotherapy. And then I was on one that I tolerated well for a while, and it went up and up until we got to the highest level of medication that I could tolerate. And unfortunately, that medication eventually brought side effects of sleeplessness. Emotional distress was a thing for sure, including these intense claustrophobic panic attacks that I would wake up in the middle of the night, and so I would be up all night from then on with just this overwhelming sense of being trapped and really struggling with that. And I haven't experienced any of that in a year now. And I'm pursuing a more multifaceted approach to managing the inflammation without relying on such invasive drug therapy. But many of you know also that back in 2019, Beverly and I moved her mother, Pearl, from Kentucky into our home, which was both a joy and a transition in our lives. And then in March of 2024, not even 5 years of living with us, Pearl passed away suddenly. And as many of you know and have experienced, losing someone in that way who was such a daily and caring presence in your lives is hard. It's just difficult, deeply painful. And of course, we praise God that Pearl belonged to Jesus, and we know that she's with him now. And I know that many of you have experienced very similar grief. These are just the shared struggles of being human. That's what we go through. What may be less relatable is the weight that builds as a minister in a church. And I know some of you think it must be the easiest job in the world. I mean, you work one day a week, right? How awesome would that be? You know who you are, you people who think like that. But in reality, it is to be someone who carries not only his own and his family's burdens, but also the emotional, spiritual and physical burdens of a beloved congregation. And it's a privilege that I do not take lightly, but the weight of it is real. And I'm thankful for a remarkable ministry staff and leadership team that helps to bear that load. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I forget that it's not mine alone to bear. And of course, ultimately, God bears it all far more than I ever could. And He has faithfully allowed me to serve this congregation for many, many years. And that's why a year ago, that time away was so vital. I needed it, even though it was hard to do it. I needed the time to rest, to be spiritually nourished, to gain perspective, to refocus, to deepen my relationship with the Lord in a more intentional way. But I didn't come to that conclusion on my own. It was, in fact, hard to convince me that that's what was needed. Listen, God has been so good in my life, in my ministry, and in this particular opportunity for renewal. I was so ready. By the time April rolled around, I was so ready to be back, and I'm truly energized for what lies ahead as we continue moving forward together, advancing His kingdom here in our community, in our state, and beyond. But I had to have someone to step in and intervene in what was becoming kind of a train wreck. You go that long without sleep, you're going to be kind of a train wreck, because it is so hard to come to the conclusion the problem might be me. It's so hard for all of us to do that. We're quick to blame circumstances. We're quick to blame other people. We're quick to blame stress or a season that we're going through, but rarely do we pause long enough to ask a deeper question, and that is, how well connected am I to Jesus? How well connected am I to Jesus? For me, I was serving, I was preaching, I was teaching, I was reading the Bible, though when I read, I have to admit, it was almost always for the purpose of preparing to preach or preparing to teach. I was serving the church mostly because it was my job in those moments. It felt like a job, and honestly, it felt like a grind. So I was putting in the time, but it was very much of a going through the motions kind of deal, just getting stuff done, right? But I was not really very well connected to Jesus on a personal level, and so when things are off in ministry or in life, it is important for us to diagnose the disconnection. We need to diagnose the disconnection. So let me go back a little bit. When I heard the words 3 months coming from one of our elders' mouths, when I overcame the shock of hearing that, I got to thinking about Kyle Eidemann. And the reason I was thinking about him is because I remembered that he had recently come back from an extended time away from his ministry. Now, I didn't know the reason for this step back, and so I used my Google investigative skills, and I found a couple of podcasts where he told all about it. And interestingly enough, it was a similar conversation between he and one of his elders in which he was told, "We want you to take some time off." And he said, "Okay." And the guys told him, 3 months. And honestly, even though I heard the same words, I can't imagine what it must be like to be Kyle Eidemann and to have to take 3 months off with the kind of schedule that he keeps. And it was also suggested that he see a leadership coach. A very similar suggestion was made to me. And it didn't take him long to figure out that this was actually a therapist disguised as a coach. And Kyle explains that he's the kind of guy that doesn't whine about things, and he doesn't really appreciate when other people, especially men, whine about circumstances either. And so he is generally not used to expressing how he feels about things, even though there for a while, like me, he was expressing his feelings without being aware that he was expressing his feelings. And so he explained to the coach how he handles stress, which was basically he didn't really handle it at all. He just went with it, right? He worked harder. He kept going without complaining about it. And the coach looked at him And he asked him that same question that he usually asks the person who's sitting on the other side of the desk from him in a situation where they have come to him for some wise counsel. And so the coach asked him the question, and how's that working for you? Ouch, that hurt. That hurt when he heard that question being asked of him, because what he realized was that everything was not okay. And while he didn't recognize that there was something off in him, his people did recognize it. His leaders, his fellow staff members, his family for sure was seeing it. But when it's you, you're generally thinking the problem can't be me, even though everybody else sees it long before you're even aware of it. So Kyle was, I recognize these symptoms. He was irritable. He was impatient. He was distracted. Even when the guy was sitting there telling him that he needed to see this coach, he kept checking his watch, and he kept picking up his phone and saying, I have to answer this important text message. He was productive. He was getting stuff done, but it was coming from his own strength and his own will and his own ambition and his own motivation. And he was headed for a problem unless he diagnosed his disconnection. And all of this, as well as having some unplanned time away, led him to John chapter 15 and a new book. And as a side note, I think it's amazing how some people can take the most challenging and difficult circumstances in life and turn them into something productive, like a book. And in this case, an extremely helpful book that I ordered immediately after hearing the podcast and read it in no time at all, entitled When Your Way Isn't Working. I'm kind of reminded of King David. Lauded king of Israel, right? This mighty warrior, the slayer of the giant, right? Zealous for God, worshiper numero uno in the nation of Israel, a man after God's own heart. But there, if you look at the life of David, you understand and you realize there were some extended periods of time in his reign when he was so caught up in running the kingdom, so stressed about those who opposed him, so overwhelmed by those who admired him, that David, without very much self-awareness, became disconnected from God and God's plan and God's will. There were many times, but the one that all of us will recall is found in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. The story is told in those chapters. When David should have been out leading the troops in battle, instead he was at home walking around on the rooftops of his palace, and in a very real sense, David was drunk with power. If he saw something or someone that he wanted, he made them his. In this case, it was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men, mighty fighting men, who was already off to war where David should have been. And David spotted Bathsheba, and he desired her, and he made her his own, if only for one night. But when she showed up pregnant, he had Uriah placed at the fiercest part of the battlefront in order to ensure that he would be killed. And what's worse, he had Uriah delivered those sealed orders to Joab at the battlefront himself. It was as if David had taken the sword of the Ammonites and killed Uriah by his own hand. You talk about a disconnection from God. So the prophet Nathan comes to David, and he tells him this very sad and infuriating story about a rich man who had all of these flocks of sheep and these herds of cattle, and he had there was this poor man that he was aware of who had only one little lamb. That's all he possessed, and that lamb was like one of the members of his family. Lived with them and slept with them and ate with them. The rich man had a visitor, and instead of killing and eating from his vast number of livestock, he took this poor man's pet and he killed it to prepare for this friend who had come to see him. And David was outraged. He was just outraged, and he said, this man deserves death, but at least to pay back four times the amount of what he took. He was so disconnected, he could see the sin of others, but he couldn't recognize his own. And finally, Nathan says to David, you are the man. You are the man. And David was overwhelmed, overcome by grief and repentance over what he had done. And in Proverbs 27, I like what the other son of David, not the son born from this first union who died after 8 days, but the second son who lived, whose name was Solomon, and he writes in Proverbs 27 in verse 5, he says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. In other words, when you don't realize that you are the problem, a friend can be sure to point it out. And it is coming from a place of love. And it's an expression of love that shows when we are in error. Because when we are disconnected, we are often the last to know. We are masters of self-justification. When things aren't working, our instinct is to look outward, right? But Scripture shows us that God, in His grace, often exposes blind spots, not to shame us, but to heal us. And Nathan confronted David. And we see in Scripture where Jesus confronted Peter. And so many other trusted comrades confronted their friend because God lovingly points out disconnection so restoration can begin. He uses people we love, people who love us, to do that. Disconnection doesn't always look like rebellion. Sometimes it looks like busyness without intimacy. Which brings us to the main passage of this series. As I said before, John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus tells us that John tells us that Jesus says this to his disciples mere hours before he would go to the cross, hours before he would leave them, and himself knowing that they are the ones who are going to have to take up the mantle and carry the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And Jesus says this, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see the imagery here, right? We have the vine. It is the source that feeds the branches. The vine enables the branch to grow. The vine enables the branch to become fruitful. But if the branch is cut off from the vine, what can it do? Nothing. It won't bear fruit. It won't continue to grow. It will simply wither. In verse 6, Jesus says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Jesus says, he is the vine, and we are the branches. Listen. Be the branch. Be the branch. That's your job. Your primary job is to stay connected to the vine. If you stay connected to the vine, he will feed you and you will grow and you will produce good fruit. But you have to stay connected. You have to abide in him. Jesus' words are both gentle and piercing. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Sure, you can still be active. You can still be productive in some ways, doing things, being busy. You can still look successful, but fruit, real, lasting, spiritual fruit, only comes from connection to Jesus. And I had to laugh because I had the very same concerns. But when Kyle was told that he had to take time away, he was concerned. He was concerned that people were going to conclude that he was some kind of moral failure. He expressed his concerns to a friend, a trusted friend, someone he respected. He confessed those concerns, and his friend said to him, "Kyle, you are a moral failure. We all are. That's why Christ had to come. That's why he had to die, because we all fail morally." It didn't matter that Kyle's issue was not some kind of infidelity or corruption. So we must admit that our moral failure, we must admit our moral failure and recognize that apart from Jesus, we are lost, not worth anything but to be picked up and thrown into the fire. So be the branch and do your one job. Stay connected to the vine. And listen, branches don't strive and they don't force fruit. They remain connected. Abiding is not passive, it's relational. It's choosing daily dependence over self-reliance. Jesus is not calling us to try harder. He's calling us to stay closer. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Fruit is the result, not the goal. The goal is to remain in Jesus. And if we do that, the fruit will come. This week in our series isn't about fixing everything. This week is about honesty. It's about honesty. Where have I been disconnected? What have I been relying on instead of Jesus? What would it look like to slow down and abide? You don't reconnect by effort, you reconnect by surrender. If your way isn't working, Jesus is not disappointed. He's inviting you back. He's inviting you back to connection. He's inviting you back to life. He's inviting you back to fruitfulness that lasts. The branch doesn't need to panic. It just needs to remain. Remain connected. And when it does, life will flow once again. Father, we just ask this morning that you would help us to see in ourselves where we're disconnected from you. And Father, I think sometimes if we take a close look and we take a real hard examination of ourselves, we'll see that we're just not really very connected at all. We're going through the motions, we're doing stuff, but we don't have that relationship with you that you desire to have with us. Put within our hearts a burning desire to know you intimately, to be connected to you so that you might feed us and we might grow and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Thank you for loving us, enabling us to actually be a branch on the vine who is your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us every day to get up and realize our job today is to follow Jesus. Our job today is to stay connected to Him. Our job today is to be the branch and allow you to flow into us and through us. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to sing a song together, Diagnose Disconnection Today. If there's not a connection, if you've never made a connection, today you can become connected to the vine. You've been living your life to this point completely apart and separate from the vine who is Jesus Christ. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we want you this morning to truly focus your heart on connecting with Jesus And as you do, the Holy Spirit will move you. The Holy Spirit will prompt you. You will want to surrender and give your heart and your life to Him. If you want to know how that process, what it looks like of giving yourself to Jesus, I'm going to be standing right over here as we stand and sing. But for the rest of us who've been here, we've been a part of the church, we may be teaching somewhere, we may be doing something, serving in some way, but we're just not really connected. We're running on our own strength and our own power and our own wisdom, our own motivation. I pray that you will make the decision to be the branch, to reconnect with Jesus, who is the vine, and that you will grow and bear fruit. Let's stand and let's sing together.